Five, four, three, two, one.
This is Carl Jack, President of the Association of Village Council
Message.
We are privileged to have this opportunity to talk to you on the issues relating to the major concerns of the Association of Village Council
in the solar system
and the concerns of the other regions.
Message.
We have here in attendance some 200 people
down
from the ABCB region as well as the people from the other regions.
Translator.
We have also here with us distinguished guests, Mr. Evan Hobson, Mayor of the North Slope Borough, Mr. Byron Malott, President of the Alaska Federation of Natives, and Mr. Steve Cooper, the Chairman of the
Andromeda,
Alaska Legislative Special Committee on D2.
Congratulate the Earth.
I may point to you that you are on a phone patch to KYUK, so that the surrounding villages will be able to hear this conversation between this conference and yourself.
In
and I have been requested to
Alaska
ask by the participants of this conference to ask you the following
for
question.
The last century.
The first question is,
goodbye for now.
The state of Alaska,
this is
Congressman Don Young
from the
AFM
Andromeda
and
Nebula,
the Association of Village Council Presidents, all support Title VII of H.R. 39. The question is, do we also have your support for passage of this important legislation?
Well, Carl, you don't have it yet. I've got a bill in, as you know. I'm glad to hear that Evan Hobson is there, and
student advisors have more control.
So many other distinguished guests. Let me tell you, I think that the recent action of the federal government on the bowhead whale demonstrates my fears as far as that bill in the House is concerned. It still vests a considerable discretion in the federal government to determine who can hunt and where in Alaska on federal land. And I don't like that at all. I think that we've got to work out a system where we allow our subsistence users in terms of hunting and fishing, but we do not give back to the federal government the powers that we acquired as Alaskans at statehood. I just do not believe that that version of that bill as it stands now should be acceptable to those people who realize that once the bill passes the Congress, the discretion will rest in the Department of Interior to determine whether or not the state action that protects wildlife in these areas is sufficient. That's reversing the test that's in the Statehood Act. At the time of we got statehood, we had to prove to the state, to the Department of Interior, that we were capable of managing our own fish and wildlife resources. Now this turns that coin over and says any time they don't feel that we are capable, we are doing the right thing, they can take a portion of it into Washington. As I said, the bullhead whale.
What was it like, though, coming? Like,
decision demonstrates what's going to happen. In my opinion. Washington is full of people who don't like anyone who harvests animals.
Was it hard to do that?
Don't like anyone who uses guns. We're facing a constant barrage of legislation to restrict our right to use our guns. Now those same people that are involved in those bills will be involved in the decisions that are contemplated by Title VII. I don't like that bill yet. And I expect that we'll have a considerable discussion about it in the future, but I don't like it yet. Incidentally, I've looked through my files again since we talked. We did not get an invitation. I'm sorry that your agenda showed that that I was to be there. I would have been happy to either be there or have Steve Silver, who's handled this matter do believe that my bill contains a provision which will lead to a better arrangement. My bill, I hope that you're taking a look at it. I know that for a lot of reasons, the council there with Mr. Cooper, Steve Cooper, has not seen fit to support it yet, but I still believe that the approach that's in 1787 is in the best interest of all Alaskans. It does contain federal legislation that requires the states to give subsistence uses preference and to give preference to local residents whenever there's a restriction on taking. Now that in the rural areas of Alaska will mean that it protects
too much
the subsistence uses and gives them first priority, and I think we can do that under state law without the possibility of the federal interference that I foresee in Title VII.
I just had to quick, I didn't even talk to my teachers about going
on. Senator, we have another question relating to the first one. Since the Native people throughout the state feel that passage of Title VII is essential to their survival, how can we support you in how can we support you if you are opposed to supporting this legislation to protect our way of life?
Well, Carl, you have to support someone who does what he thinks is right. I have supported my good friend there, Evan, and the problems of those who seek to continue to harvest the whales. And certainly, every instance we've had in terms of conflict with the federal government recently, it's been the federal actions to restrict Alaskans in their right to use federal lands. At Title VII, I don't know who has interpreted for you. I know that I've had discussions with many of your leaders all over the state, and I've tried to explain my feeling that Title VII will deny your children the right to do what you're doing now. At some time in the future, the federal government will exercise the right to take back the control over fish and wildlife. If Title VII were amended so that it does not imply a federal oversight of state action to protect subsistence uses, then I could support it. I cannot support action that would turn back to the federal government the right to restrict the taking of wildlife in Alaska. Because I think the end result will be exactly what happened at the bowhead whale situation when the decision was made against Alaskans. And I think the decision will be made under Title VII will be primarily against Native Alaskans. And I would be happy to talk to you at any time. But, Carl, I don't take actions on the basis of whether or not people are going to vote for me. I take actions on the basis of whether or not they're right. And if you see fit to state to your people that you don't think that you can support me in view of all the history of what we worked together because of Title VII, well, then you'll just have to do that. But from my point of view, we've had a long history of working together, and I'll continue to work with you and the other leaders of the Native community to see that we try to do what's right for all of our people, and particularly for our children. I do not think that we ought to be pressured in supporting some compromise in terms of House actions. The bill has not been through the Senate yet. It has not been to the Conference Committee yet. And you know that we will finally write this bill when it gets to Conference. Now, as a senator, I'm entitled to see this bill come through the Senate and to work on it and work with you and your people. I think it's premature to take a look at one section in terms of the House bill and say we're going to support it. And particularly to support it if it gives back to the federal government the power to take away the right to hunt in Alaska on federal lands in any way.
What was your name again?
Senator, we thank you for your expressions. We have another question. The question is that the Alaska Natives have worked extremely hard with Congress, the state of Alaska, and other interest groups to bring the Title VII provision to an acceptable point. And if it would be unfortunate if the bill does not pass Congress by December deadline, we have mentioned, some have mentioned the possibility of amending the date to five, the bill, more time for consideration. Will you work to make sure that the bill is passed into the law this year?
Well, that's our goal, Carl, is to meet the deadline that Congress has established. But Senator Gravel and I have discussed this, and we think that it must receive a fair consideration in the Senate. We think that the bill in the House has been set up so that it is unbalanced towards the extreme national environmentalists. And those people, nothing can say about those people. You should see the latest article in the Wildlife Journal, Evander, that refers to both you and me and our actions to try and preserve the right to take whales. But as a practical matter, those people oppose us, and they oppose the whole state. Now, that bill has got to go through the Senate, and there are a lot of other sections that are involved in that bill. And I think that we're entitled to see to it that the Senate, which is of a different complexion in the House, gives it a fair hearing. And that's what we're working on, and we fully intend to see to it that it gets to conference committee this year if we get a fair hearing. And I think that's the thing that's important.
Senator?
What has the steering council done? Steve, do you say, is the steering council signed off on Title VII now?
Senator? I'm going to call Mr. Cooper up here so we can respond to that. Mr. Cooper?
He has a microphone, Steve. There's a microphone there.
Ted, can you hear me? Just also, you know, the feeling like you're going to be leaving in a few
days. Can you hear me up there?
Is this the one? Okay.
The steering council is going to meet Tuesday in Juneau, and of course we haven't met since the House put that provision in. I think the response generally has been favorable, but you never can tell. We'll have to wait until the council meets. Incidentally, Carl Jack has been appointed as a member of the council, and I would hope that he'll be with us Tuesday.
Is that our sheet?
Well, that's good.
I'm a little uneasy with that, Ted, but the great majority of the language in Title VII, I think I'm very comfortable with.
KCC,
ACC, has the duty to maintain wildlife habitat and fishery habitat and protection,
you went for it?
But the state determines
in the winter of
legislature, the laws under which the taking will take place. Now, we are prepared to
next
put
year
in this bill, just so everybody understands it, we're prepared to put in the bill a requirement that the state must protect subsistence uses. That is in my bill. And it must protect and grant to the local residents a preference and priority
you see
of the right and wrong of protecting the Alaska subsistence use or going along with the National Environmental and World Environmental Organizations, the executive branch of the federal government that went along with it, the environmental organizations. And I think that will happen in the future if we consent to that portion of Title VII.
Senator, since you have responded to a question relating to Mr. Malott's stance, Mr. Byron Malott's position, I have Mr. Malott here to praise you of what the AFN's position is.
Senator, I thought I sat next to you, you recall, when you articulated your position there in Anchorage. It's nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, Senator. AFN, through the regional corporations, and certainly there is not unanimity on the point, but there is a large majority judgment that early on, after working with Native groups throughout the state, there was a strong push not just for federal oversight, but for total federal management. And at a certain point, of course, cooler minds prevailed, and it's been our consistent position that the state should be responsible for fish and game management, but that there ought to be some form of federal oversight. And I'm not so sure that the bowhead whale issue is precisely the same, because the kinds of subsistence resources that we're looking at in large part are the kinds of subsistence resources that we're in competition with other users for. And there's a strong feeling, looking at the history of state management so far, that the history of state management has been faint-hearted in protecting the rights of subsistence users when balanced against the rights of sports hunters and other hunters within the state. And so,
do you like
I would argue with you about that, but I will argue about the problem of land management. Remember, that federal provision can only apply to federal land. It will not apply to native-owned lands, which are privately owned lands. It will not apply to state-owned lands. So that if that provision stays in Title VII, we'll have the incongruous situation that on federal lands in Alaska, the Secretary of Interior can manage, for instance, the caribou, but the minute they go off on the native lands or state lands, he cannot constitutionally manage them. Now, the difficulty with this
is there anything else
is I don't have any problem about
suggests
placing
to, like some of your friends
an oversight
other than,
function
as you said,
in the Secretary. I'd rather put it in Congress, as a matter of fact, than in the Secretary.
And see what
but
like.
To put a management
else would you
function,
say?
Remember, Title VII takes management into the Department of Interior.
Yeah.
If the Secretary finds that the state's not managing the fish and game properly. Now, that is a reversion of, as I said, of the provision in statehood. And with the attitude that exists back here now, surely that will be exercised. There's no question of why these national environmental organizations have such tremendous power. As far as the
outside of Bethel, sometimes
it's not a political comment.
Bethel has a bad
it's
name.
A fact. They have strong powers back here. Now, if he takes the management back into the Department of Interior, then the bowhead whale, in my opinion, is a case in point, because that was a management decision that the Ocean Mammal Act put the management back into the Secretary of Commerce with the Secretary of Interior's advice. And that was a resource that was managed under state law before. Now, the Ocean Mammal Act took that away from the state and put it into federal government. The federal government went in under the International Whaling Commission and just obliterated the history of the relationship to the Eskimo to the bowhead whale. You all know that. I don't need to tell you about that. To me, once the management's returned to the Secretary of Interior, and he had it during the territorial days, so it would be just that much less
what
your people
about?
Have a great deal more
if
influence in
Juneau
back
it.
than you'll ever have with a Secretary of Interior. And Alaskans as a whole have more influence, as you know, than the three of us have here in Congress. That's the supporting provision, which takes part of our powers that we derived as a state from Juneau and puts them into Washington, D.C. again. To me, is a reversal of our freedoms. I will cooperate with you to do anything we can to protect the Massachusetts. I'm sure you know that. Short of restoring to the federal government some of the power they had in the territory over the lands of Alaska. Now, if those lands were located anywhere else,
Senator, AFN knows that you recognize the huge concern that Native people in Alaska have over the sensitivity of the state in management of these resources, and I'm sure that you understand why we do seek the kind of oversight that we've discussed here. We know that this bill does have a long way to go, and on behalf of AFN, we look forward to working with you during the next year to see that we get the kind of legislation that really works.
Well, I think we'll get the kind that works in the final analysis, Byron. I don't think that we've got to get in a position where we endorse a bill now that's just, after all, it's not even out of the full committee yet. And we don't know what's going to happen to it on the House.
Yeah.
We don't know what'll happen to it in the Senate committee or on the floor of the Senate or the conference committee. I think that we've got to set some goals, and the goals are to protect subsistence uses.
In contrast, if you were to go to school at Anchorage,
subject to state law. If it becomes an area of federal law and federal
that power back here, and the wrong people control it.
That
would be more disastrous than
subsistence
use. Going for 56 and
a
moratorium on taking of land mammals.
Do you realize they do not sell a
food? It is probably no more difficult in terms of exercising on federal lands than it was for Congress to pass a moratorium of taking ocean mammals. And believe me, we see here every day a growth of the strength of the people who oppose hunting, period. They don't care whether it's native subsistence use or a sports hunter. They're opposed to taking animals on federal land, and they are growing in strength. And if you return that power to control the taking to Secretary of Interior, I think it'll lead to a further restriction on subsistence use, a greater restriction on the taking under subsistence use than you can possibly imagine.
Senator, I have one last question, and that is to confirm your assessment in terms of time frame that in our short meeting we had in D.C., your statement
passing out was fun.
Anticipating
the
final legislation to come out of the Joint Conference in June or shortly thereafter.
What was it for you?
Well, it's subject, of course, to some of these filibusters going on, Carl, and also subject to fair consideration by the Senate of this bill.
Our best experience is getting drunk in college.
You have to realize, in my opinion, the House people who are supporting the extreme environmental movement are keeping this bill at a very high silhouette because they feel that Senator Gravel and I, when we get in the House, they've told me this personally, that when we get it out of the House and into the Senate, that we will reduce the acreage and we'll change the terms.
What do you feel
and
like?
Therefore, they are unwilling, really, to compromise much in the House. I'm sure you've seen that, particularly on the subject of wilderness. Now, when that bill comes over to the Senate,
10 minutes late.
Since they have refused to moderate the bill at all in the House, if we don't get a fair hearing on it in the Senate, then that'll be another question. But assuming we get a fair hearing, and I'm assured by Senator Jackson that we will, then I have no reason to believe that the bill will not proceed through the Senate and the conference this year. But it depends on the attitude of the Senate. If the Senate looks like it's going to stampede and rush this thing through in a day, I bet it'll be another matter, I think. But if we're going to get a fair consideration in the Senate, I have no reason to believe it won't be enacted by the deadline that's required by existing law. Instantly, it doesn't make a difference where it does or not. The lands are all withdrawn under Section 81 anyway.
We're just talking.
Do you have any comments relating to the conveyance of the native lands?
Well, I discussed that with Ty Martin the other day, and I believe that he's working, and we've been working with him to try and accelerate some of the conveyances and try to eliminate some of the problems that led to the delay.
What have been the most important
things? I still believe we made a mistake by not putting a tentative approval concept in the Native Land Claims Settlement Act as we did in the Statehood Act, so that the equitable title of the right to use the land would flow upon approval of the selection. The problem comes down to a certain extent on the delay on.
How do you feel now that
the right to use the land would flow upon approval of the selection? The problem comes down to a certain extent on the delay on surveying, that's going to be a difficult problem. I do believe we ought to do everything we can to accelerate the conveyances. And I've mentioned that to several of you who are there now. My fear that if we don't get that land conveyed, one of these days some of these environmental groups are going to start attacking the conveyances themselves. There's been some hint of that, you know, in some of these statements are made by these national environmental people that they think that the native people of Alaska and the state got too much land and that ought to be reviewed. We ought to do everything we can to hasten the conveyances of the lands to both the native people and the state.
state, under the state selection, I'll do everything I can to cooperate with you on that. There's no question about that.
Senator, do you have any specific comments relating to the land conveyance as written in H.R. 39 now?
This how to survive in a party town. Is this a
no, I don't. I don't know whether that's a workable provision yet. We're studying that.
How to?
And again, you know, when you start studying a bill that's not even through full committee in the House, and we're in the Senate working on other legislation, it's not gotten to the point yet where I think we really ought to study it, because that bill is subject to being changed by the full committee and by the House. And once it comes out of the House, then I think we'll be in a position to give you a firm opinion as to whether we can support or what our position is going to be on the legislation. It's just too premature now.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know,
thank
you're
you.
All very astute people in dealing with legislation, and you know that bill, sitting there where it is only, like on the first rung of a 12-rung ladder. It has not moved any further than just the subcommittee in the House. And as such, I reason to believe it's going to change considerably before it gets to the floor of the Senate, for instance, or to the conference committee. And I hope it does. I hope it changes its complexion considerably, because I think that's needed to protect the interests of Alaska.
Senator, we don't have any more questions, and on behalf of the conference here, I would like to thank you for the time that you shared with us, the concerns that we have, and your assessment of the potential outcome of the final legislation. I am looking forward to working with the groups here in Alaska, and also looking forward to some deliberations with you on the subject matter. Senator, thank you very much.
I look forward to working with all of you. It's going to be a long process. Even the passage of this bill doesn't settle the question, you know, because it's going to take state change in the state legislation. I've discussed that with Governor Hammond, and I'm sure that you know that the provision that's in that bill, 1787,
at the time, was supported by all of us who elected on a statewide level in terms of protecting consistent uses under state law. I think that ought to be our goal, and I believe that we can do it. Senator, thank you again for sharing our concerns and your assessment. That's about all we have. Thank you very much.
All right.
Goodbye, dear. Nice to talk to all of you.
I forgot to, I made a little error. At the point where I said about that we live, I feel like that we live on a borrowed land. But he said before that was that he seems very, everybody, or most of the people around here feel like they're in an alien world, in their own homeland. They feel like they're in an alien world, living on borrowed land with all the restrictions being placed on them. And also, he said that maybe with that kind of If we have people out there that is willing to go through the hardships that we go through, then maybe you'd understand what he's talking about. And if he made a comment about something which I don't think you guys would understand, he threw a joke. I don't think you guys will get it, because it's too... You gotta live in a village to understand what he meant, so...
Well, I want to hear the joke.
He said that if you volunteer as one of the participants in this new program that could be created, that you'd probably end up making needlefish soup as a specialty.
You've
got to mention one thing. His village is in the Clarenceville National Wildlife Refuge. But even though their villages are on the refuge, they still hunt and fish because they need that food. And that, like everybody else, they have a stomach. And also, the people were told that even though they're on that land, that they could utilize the resources that they have traditionally used. And last summer, a plane came, and this guy said that he was fishing game. He was fishing game official, and he came into his house. To his house and start asking this guy questions about Thomas A. Katz and what kind of fishing, what they catch. And then he got curious and he asked that person, that fishing game official, if he reports those information to Ipiktakpista. And he looked around but he couldn't recognize that person in here, in this room. But he got curious when he was talking to another person, which that person mentioned, even though he knows for sure that some of those people, some of the fish and game that he mentioned were not the kind that they usually fish. That's why he got curious and asked if that person reports to Ipiktakpista. I misunderstood him when he said report to YB. What he meant was before he went out, because I think he's referring to the resolution that was passed by ABCP once, that before any agency goes out to any village with any kind of program, that they have to report to the AVCP with their activity, with their proposed activity. And I think this is what he's referring to. That's why he got curious and asked that person if he had actually got in contact with Ipiktakpista. And he told him that if he didn't, that he better go in, come into Bethel and contact YB about his program or whatever he was doing. And that if he didn't, that he better leave the village. The person got pissed off at him, but he said he wasn't scared because number one, that guy was alone, it was his village, and all was well. Well, the person walked over to the place where there was a phone, and he was waiting for him in his house, come back to his house and start asking more questions, but that person never came back, and the person, right after he phoned, left that village.
Michael Johnson from Imara on the lower Yukon River. I am very glad at this point to address the board and your fish and wildlife men that you send out to protect what you call laws in your definition. This is the first time that I have appeared before a board and your people that work for you. I was in the legislature for 6 years. When I was down there, anytime I tried to do something for our people back home, if I did and say something, it was either discriminatory or prejudice. But this is one place that I don't have to worry about those two words, being discriminatory or prejudice. You as a board, you have a job to do. And your people that go out to all our places have a job to do. The difference is between your board, your people that's working for you, and our way of life, you have the dollars coming to you in your pocket. But us, the native people, we live off this land. It's ours. You're trying to tell us what to do and how to take care of it. It's your job to do it. For what? It's not for our sake, because we're going to take care of ourselves. As long as there's waterfowl, fur-bearing animals, or fish in our streams, in our land, no matter what kind of laws you make or what you regulate, we're going to go out there and feed our kids and our stomachs, because hunger knows no price. I don't care what you think, what you do. This is absolute truth. We take any one of you out and come and live with us, and if you don't believe me, any one of our people in this body is willing to take you out and let you find out what we really have to do to live. The dollars and cents is nothing to us. You can have $1 million in your pocket. But when we go out and we get lost in a storm or anything, that $1 million is absolute. You can't even. What is on the ground, what is in the stream, if you have to survive, it's what counts. As a board, the first thing your job is, forget the dollars, the sportsmen. Think of us poor people that have to depend on this land and streams for the purpose of our own lives. We have to live just like you do. We're just human beings, as you are. You've got the dollars, we don't. We have the opportunity and the privilege to live off the land that God has given us as nature. you people that have a salary.
How about you? It's really cool.
You have a job to do. As a board or anything else.
Yeah.
Like me, myself. I have the real opportunity. My dad was not a hunter. But when I became of age, I had to help feed my brothers and sisters and work. And I've been working ever since I was 9 years old. Today I'm 67. I made a lot of money, I thought, at $50 a month for many years. Now $50 a month is not a heck of a lot of money, especially when you're married. Didn't go very far. And I worked for NC Company for 28 years. When I left the NC Company, I didn't have 10 pounds of flour or a pound of coffee in my home. I had to live off the land. This is what you're going to hear. You're going to hear it repeatedly all day. But this is the first time that I know that we have the people that are going to testify today will testify to the board and to your people that work for you. When you regulate and make rules, there's one thing that I'd like to ask all of you. When you do that, forget the dollars, forget the support. Think of us poor people that have to live off this land.
And I was told by my teacher that if I was out states, I wouldn't have a chance to be with the children in these 2 years.
Yeah.
Except if I'm really under student teaching.
Yeah. What about you?
My classes, I'm thinking, are good. I think the instructors are pretty good instructors. They're easy.
Yeah.
Get along with them, and they don't give you a bad time if you don't hand your homework in time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they
maybe they should give you a hard time. Right?
Oh, maybe. I think that sometimes. But well, like it's really different from here. You know, going to college in Anchorage, you worry about have to hand in your homework. If you don't, you're gonna fail in your class. Where here, the teachers, you know, yeah, they bug you all right, but they don't give you as bad a time as those teachers in English do.
Do you have anything else to say? I don't have any more questions.